And that's why gorillas have small penises.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the podcast about anything and everything in the world of wrestling. You know, such good shoot. We're a podcast, or so they tell me. Up there, we have the beast from the east, the insatiable Isaac. Yeah, I don't have all the energy today. I didn't sleep last night.
Hell yeah, me neither. Fuck yeah.
We got the sensational Shane from the middle places. I don't know what corner that is. Like, you're in the middle.
I'm still pretty east.
He's time zone wise. We're on the same time zone.
Yeah, and you know, down here, I'm that goddamn dozer.
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 The dill dozer.
So Isaac, did you know who that was?
Yeah, you know what? It took me a minute. Once he started singing, I remembered the she bangs thing. But I was like, who the fuck is this? Yeah.
I knew you were going to have no clue at the start.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh shit, yeah, she bangs. Yeah, he was cool for like a minute, what, like 8 years ago? I don't know.
Oh, more than that. Bro, like 16 years ago, like 2005.
She bang. He
hasn't aged today, but
yeah, well, Asians age like pears, man.
Do you feel more inspired now, Isaac? Did he do a good job of talking you up for your violent pro wrestling match with Nick Gage?
Dude, no. No,
you don't.
That was a waste of who spent money on that one.
Just Dewey? Come on. Come on.
I don't know what the fuck was going on, man. I don't know why he would. Why? It's like he couldn't even fucking take the time to learn like 4 words to "I am a real American."
For sure.
I would have paid fucking. I would have liked to see.
Yeah. Well, I tried, but he did not want to do that. So he just sung you a nice song. That was really nice of him.
Just do it.
Yeah, be what you want to be.
There's a lot of hard words in real American. I get it.
Well, there is something important I need to ask. What's everybody getting intoxicated on tonight?
We have to drink Nats here. I'm drinking a.
Does that count as two? I drank for when you picked them up.
I guess. I'm sorry. Yeah, probably. I don't know. Let's just do some.
I'll just do two.
I'm drinking a swine cooler, lemon lime swine cooler.
Ooh. You already know.
Bush heavy.
You want to hear something funny, Shane?
Yes.
Look at this. This motherfucker is. He's drinking a 10.4 beer. This is like an exclusive. You want to tell him a little about this?
Yeah. So my bourbon club, we buy barrels of bourbon. And then when we have the leftover barrel, we took this one and we made a beer out of it. Well, aged the beer in it.
Yo, that's really tight. Which beer? What was the base beer?
It is based off of.
Is it a homebrew as well? Is the beer homemade as well?
It's from Twisted Knot Brewing in Newport News, Virginia.
Okay.
It's a full legit beer. It's not a homebrew. It's a microbrew.
It looks like motor oil to me, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, look, there's not even carbonation.
Yeah, well, that's perfect for you, Dozer. Yeah.
It is. There's no style on it, but it's fucking delicious, and that's all that matters.
Either $5 or $10, I don't fully remember.
Oh, you were on my side? You thought I was going to recognize who
I didn't think there was a chance. I was like, he was doing drugs at this point. Like, he probably didn't even have internet, so like...
Oh, no, I mean, I was... you gotta jerk off somehow. Listen, you gotta have priorities in life. It goes off, then drugs, okay?
Like, come on. This is 2005, right? And also, you just got a computer.
I was jerking off. I was jerking off when you had to fucking use the dial-up, bro. I was jerking off when you had to fucking... like the picture would load about like, I don't know, like it would take like what, 95 seconds for the picture to load, and it would like slowly scroll down the screen. So you get like, you get half a tit and you're like, yes, finally. And you're just fucking going ham on it. No, I mean, I've been using computers since then. It's that's, just, it just
seems like one of those things that you could have very easily missed.
Yeah.
And working
in restaurants, man, cooks are crazy. You know, like they're, I'm sure the only reason I actually know that is because someone was fucking singing and dancing that shit in the kitchen. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And somebody showed me.
Aaron, I own the original William Hung album. I know this. This is my wheelhouse.
The better question, do you think the Numa Numa guy's on Cameo?
The fuck is Numa Numa guy?
I don't even remember that one.
Well, we'll pull that up for another time, but while I get that ready, we just have to ask. It's time for the...
Oh, fuck.
Cheek of the week. Cheek of the week. I wish I actually wrote down the order I said Sheik of the Week in.
Sheik of the Week. We should get Chocolate Rain on this motherfucker.
Tay Zonda.
We're going to get Tay Zonda in the bitch?
Dude, let's see if we can get him on. See if we can get him to move away from the microphone when he breathes.
As of 25 minutes ago, Sheik wants the world to know, once a jabroni, always a dumb son of a bitch.
Oh, shit, I get to watch one now, because we're doing that part of the show.
Let's see, give me just one more.
No, you're good, dude, you're good. Iron Sheik of the Week is like a really fun segment.
This one's incredible. The at McDonald's spicy chicken nuggets, the real or THR jabroni? You answer on the at Fuzzerly show. Show the world who is the legend. But he accompanied it with this picture.
Ooh, they are number one. The picture is of Iron Sheik wearing a shirt with a picture of Iron Sheik on it.
And then it says, Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, yes.
Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, and McDonald's spicy chicken nuggets are number one.
Yes. Also, what the hell is Fuzzerly?
Oh, God. How many views?
Oh.
That's like 7 billion views this dude has.
53 million.
Yeah, it goes absolutely hard. He's got 1.2 million likes. Can you imagine, real quick, can you imagine if this guy like still has access to this account and can somehow monetize that video?
Right?
Right?
Oh, yeah, like, dude. Killer.
Insane, because... it's just getting clicks every day from like people who remember it, and also like new people that are like,
it's like the I Like Turtles kid. Like, you should be able to like Turtles. That. Dozy, you look like the neighbor on Home Improvement right now.
I either need a taller chair or. it might be time to invest in a graphics guy.
Whatever. We're not a fucking high tech show, man. We're a low tech show. We're three low tech bros just hanging out, smoking some fucking low tech drugs, drinking.
And I'm the least techie.
Well, I don't know about that.
The most important thing
you know who William Hung was.
Hopefully our graphics get better soon, because we do have a sponsor, and that is the Credit Union of Northern Tennessee. Hopefully they'll give us some money, do your banking with the Credit Union of Northern Tennessee. They'll never screw you.
God, I love the Credit Union of Northern Tennessee.
Sorry.
It's a great place.
Warm. Warm. Where did that come from? I mean, that hasn't been unearthed in months now. I was just confused.
Well, what happened is the fine folks at the Credit Union of Northern Tennessee had not sent our checkout for all our prior ad reads and sponsorships. We were trying to work out the kinks in that, and we finally got.
Wait,
our...
where the fuck is my cut?
Oh, you never.
I've never even heard of
it. Yeah, you never got into it, dude. We were like, hey, you want to get in on this? And you were like, guys, you guys, this is not the way we want to. We don't want to associate with a banking institution in northern Tennessee. I remember this conversation clearly.
Yeah, me too. So, Dozer.
Yes.
Oh, Dozer. Yeah, no, I was going to say, so talk a little bit about Grand Slam from last night. I haven't watched it, and we all know this dude hasn't. So
yeah, I've been fucking working, jerking.
Oh, God damn. I'm the reporter on this one.
Yes, absolutely. I plan on watching it, but I have not yet.
Oh damn! I don't have my Grand Slam notebook with me, so we're gonna have to go off the cuff, and you know we're gonna just start out right.
It
off
just
the
went bang bang, yeah.
It opens with a great goddamn match. You know, you see, you got Brian Daniel Bryanson. It works against Kenny Omega, and you know it was a fucking banger for half an hour. Great match. Got to see all sorts of flippy dippy shit along with a lot of great hard hitting kicks. And you know, Kenny decided between each kick if he wanted to oversell it or no sell it. He oversold a kick to the gut and no sold a kick to the head. It made no sense in that aspect. And you know, after that, we get CM Punk come out for his weekly I Need to Talk to Y'all segment where he like bashes Taz because no one cheered for Team Taz and they're from New York. And, you know, he said it's the first time pro wrestling's been in New York in a long time. And I just sit there and go, no, Ring of Honor's regularly up there.
Yeah, didn't they have that fucking crazy G1 Climax show there or something?
Yeah, well, I'm like, I know you're trying to take a dig at WWE, but
yeah,
the other
and that's
promotions do good in New York.
And I got to say, Shane, unfortunately, you have been proven right. I was really hoping that we weren't going to have weekly promos about fucking cheap shots at WWE from Punk, and that's exactly what we're getting. And it sucks because he's better than that. But
yeah, it's not what I want to see every week. And
I mean, they're different people, but look at the way Daniel Bryan handled it. And look, no, like he doesn't mention it, he just fucking moves on.
And very politely and calmly when Beaverface told him to stop using the Yes Chan in AEW. He did. Yeah, if you missed that, Beaver Teeth gave him a call telling him, hey, don't use our intellectual property, dudes, even though, you know, it's Yes, and we can't copyright that or monetize it legally.
Really? I didn't know that.
No, yeah, I didn't see that at all.
So Dunn contacted Daniel Bryan or contacted AEW.
That's the word on the street from a source I do not remember, but it was probably Dirt Sheet Radio. Because that's about the only pro wrestling thing I read. They probably had another source from there. I don't know it. Maybe Mexican Meltzer will correct me eventually.
I'm glad he's back, by the way.
Yeah. You know,
shout out Hector.
He's doing his stuff with Buckle Bomb Entertainment. You should check them out, too. You know, we'll plug anybody but ourselves half the time.
Yeah, and Johnner's Podcasting Network, Wrestling with Johnner's. .com. There's like 40 fucking shows on there now, man. If you can't find a wrestling podcast on there that you like, then well, I don't know, you're probably just a dumbass.
Absolutely. And you know, back to Grand Slam, we had MJF taking on Brian Pillman Jr. And you know, this was a pretty damn good match. Yeah, MJF did MJF things, Brian Pillman did Pillman things, and at the end of the day, middle of the match, I decided that it's going to be Pillman winning the Owen in a couple weeks. That brings us to our mandatory Rhodes spot where we have Malakai Black just beating Cody Rhodes, and that happened.
Didn't he spit on him?
He used like a black mist.
Didn't
right?
he do the mist?
He did a black mist and like completely missed his face, but Cody sold it in the eyes despite the fact that like purely hit his chest.
Well, a couple drops, dude. I don't know, man. I don't know if you've been in the shower or not, or fucking ever zested a lemon. It only takes a drop.
And that brought us to Sting and Darby taking on FTR. And at the end of the day, that was a damn good match. Sting looked like he could still go way better than a lot of people.
FTR?
Yeah, but man, you know,
you mean mechanics?
Yes. and you mean the team that lost to Sting and Darby Allin?
The mechanics.
Why can't they win a match?
Because
why does everyone in pro wrestling who books hate the Revival or the mechanics or FTR
because
or Dash and Dawson?
They're the exact opposite of fucking the Bucks. Like, they're the antithesis of the Bucks in a lot of ways in the way they wrestle. And yeah. I don't know. I think that was like part of like, I mean, honestly, that was a big thing, was them taking shots like that, you know, like all fists, no flips or whatever.
Yeah.
And my guess is that, yeah, like they're some of the guys who run that are still bitter about that. But I don't know.
No, they were all in on that. That was, yeah, they,
I mean, I think yeah, that no, those guys they were... are, have been underutilized everywhere they've ever been.
No. I agree. It really frustrates me that they lost to fucking Sting. You know what I mean? Like you can lose a bunch of matches and like, I understand Darby did a lot of the work, whatever, blah, 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 but they should be able to beat up fucking Sting. Yeah. Sting is about 78 years old.
Yeah. I mean, Rollins took him out with a buckle bomb.
Yeah. Sting. I mean, Sting would kick my ass, but that's not hard. So we're moving on.
And you know, that brings us to our main event of the night, where we have Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, taking on Ruby Soho for the AEW Women's World Championship.
Okay. How was this one? This is the only thing I'm fully like invested in as far as like what they're doing. Right there on this on that card.
I don't remember enough of it.
Bleacher Report gave it a B+ for whatever that's
Ruby.
Worth.
I like Ruby. I love the fact that she gets to use like the Ruby Soho for her theme, and not only that, but they like contacted her and were like, "Yeah, if you want to use this, like you should."
Well, he's Go ahead, Dozer.
I was gonna say, and they didn't want $100,000 to play it 20 times a year.
I know. Final countdown.
Yeah, Isaac, did you see that picture I shared of their singer in the Nick Gage shirt?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I shared it to one of the groups. But yeah, he was spotted recently with an MDK all fucking day shirt.
Oh, God.
Which is a faction in which you're feuding with right now.
Yeah, the SGS clan is feuding with
Isaac
versus MDK.
No,
they get fucked, we get paid.
Well, boom. I'm not going to fight Nick Gage with you. That
yeah, whatever,
is not.
Dude,
I'm a Catholic pacifist. I don't support this.
I'll fight Nick Gage. You can fight two of his bitch pussy friends.
Oh God! Moving on.
I don't know. Unless they're fucking they're in jail still, or fucking. Probably still in jail, right? Right there, Nick.
Oh God.
I don't know. If I'm gonna get murdered, I might as well get murdered for a reason.
Why are you bringing us with it? You didn't justify bringing us into it at all.
Because this is an SGS versus MDK feud. We agreed on this.
No.
We did?
I don't know. I did. if I'm going to hell, I'm taking you with me. You did technically start it all.
On all of this...
Yes.
Retard alert.
Yes. That's offensive. That's a bad thing. I didn't do it. Well,
our sensors are right on the timing there.
Yeah, no, totally, dude. That was great. That was
absolutely
perfect.
They're on top of their shit today. But, you know, I think we watched it. What else did we have on this docket? Cuz I didn't write it down today. I have no idea what's going on.
What else were we going to talk about? Well, we did we'll do a little self-promotion here. For folks who are not subscribed to our Patreon, we did another Patreon exclusive episode, Shane and I, where we sat down, watched, forgot most of, and then reviewed Suburban Commando.
No, I was kicking ass.
You were doing great. I watched it fucking twice and I forgot half of it, but it was it's a great episode. It really is a fun one. We talk about all sorts of interesting things as far as the movie goes. There's also up on YouTube. You can find our first episode, that first Patreon exclusive episode where Shane finally watched They Live. So you can go check that out on our YouTube channel. That's up for public consumption now. So you can get a taste of what those Patreon exclusive episodes are like. And you hit the top tier and you get to start recommending movies. And we actually, no, the gorilla fucking, we'll get there. We'll get there a little later. Oh dude. Yes. But the thing with the Patreon thing is if you pay the top tier, the $20 a month, you can vote or choose. Right now you can choose a movie for us to watch and review. And the next one of our beautiful Patreon supporters has picked a movie that I'm actually genuinely very excited to watch because I watched the trailer and the trailer was fucking great. And it's called America the Motion Picture. And it's it looks awesome. I guess it's a Netflix film and it's about the founding of America, but animated style, and looks really good. So that'll be the next Patreon exclusive. Joe really wants to get into Gorilla Dicks. All I'm going to say, because I don't want to get too deep into this, is that when it comes to size, yeah, gorillas might be bigger than us, but when it comes to size to dick ratio, we have the biggest size to our body size ratio of any animal on the planet. So fuck gorillas and fuck Nick Cage.
I'm gonna whoop your ass one day, boy. Yeah, that's gonna be a bad time. That bell gonna ring and you're gonna get your ass kicked.
I mean, Nick Cage can't find Vermont, dude. Come on.
GCW probably holds shows in Vermont. They seem like some the bingo whole state hall
would need to come out to fill up a bingo hall.
True. Maybe a Max's
Burlington.
Burlington, yeah. We could do Burlington, but yeah, I don't know. Too many. I don't think GCW would work in Burlington, honestly. You're not even allowed to like say bitch in the comedy clubs there. So
wait, really?
Yeah, one kid got banned because he did a set and said something about bitch, said someone was a bitch or something like that, and fucking he got banned
from the comedy club. Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know Vermont was so Puritan.
It's not even Puritan. It's that fucking like phony fucking neoliberal fucking like. We need to fucking preserve like everyone's feelings just in case like there's a chance that somebody doesn't feel comfortable hearing that. And it's like, you know, like, yeah, I get like there's a lot of places where you want people to feel comfortable, but a comedy club is not a place where you go to be comfortable, because that's not what comedy is. Like comedy is like forcing you to laugh at uncomfortable shit. Like that's what comedy is. It's like there's nothing funny about fucking like shit that ain't funny. I don't know. That's my insight for today. Put it on a bumper sticker. So let's get into the main event, I guess. So So this week, our main event, we are going to be talking about U.S. currency. What coins, what bills, what nominations, and the Jews.
Yourself.
Yes, I'm Jewish, so I'm allowed to say that. I'm Jewish with Isaac. We actually watched an NXT takeover. We're in the takeover time machine today. And it was Takeover 5, which was
unstoppable.
Well, it was 6 if you count Arrival, I think.
Yeah.
They call it Takeover 6. I'm going with 6.
It's a weird thing, but yes. I don't get unstoppable. Unstoppable. Unfapped. I don't know. I fapped to the main event, but yeah, this is like I don't know, like I kind of
relevant to current events for the first match.
Yeah, I kind of dug it. Like this was a fun pay per view.
Markedly less colorful than what it is now.
Yeah, it's still
that shit is so bright now.
I don't hate it though. I don't hate it at all.
I wouldn't hate it if it wasn't like painful to watch. It's so bright. It feels like shocking.
Like, it almost feels like what WWE would be if Disney bought it.
No, yeah. We already saw what WWE would be if Disney bought it. And I don't know if you remember, but there used to be a show called WWE Saturday Morning Slam.
Oh, no, they'll get into the
I don't think I ever watched that, to be honest. Like, I know it exists, but...
Oh, they were terrible matches.
I remember, because, like, they weren't allowed to do, like, 80% of, like, wrestling holds.
Which, like, considering a WWE match only uses, like, 5 holds to begin with.
Yeah, I can't remember. There's like a long list of things they weren't allowed
to do. I'll have to check it out.
They weren't allowed to do chokes. There was like, I don't know if they were allowed to hit, like punch each other. Like, it was very weird rules. Like, and not like rules in the match, but like rules behind the scenes of like what could happen.
Yes.
In the
No. Yeah. No, I get it. I'll have to check it out.
Bizarre shit.
But, you know, this night opens up with a number one contenders match where we have the gorgeous one, Tyler Breeze, taking on the Demon.
Well, doesn't it fully open with fucking Hideo getting injured or something in the parking lot or some weird shit?
Yeah, he gets beaten up and Kevin Owens walks by him and goes, what sucks? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And now, I can't remember. Was he legitimately injured at that point? Was this like a neck thing? Or was this
Yeah. No. He was out.
And this is so fast.
Yeah, for a little bit.
This is like 3 months, maybe.
Yeah, but
yeah, it's sad. That's
really match sad. Was good. Match mm-hmm. was good. It wasn't
entrances. Before the match, the entrances were both great. Like
it was the first time we had really seen NXT do something big. You know what I mean? Like that big at least, and have two guys get like special entrances, and it made it feel really special. Like Finn felt like $1 million here.
Might have been one of the best Finn Balor entrances I've ever seen. With
the crowd is chanting "Holy shit!" as he's coming out. When he's done, they're chanting "That was awesome!"
And
like
fucking his cape with the spikes on the back, like the whole thing aesthetic of it. That eye wings. On his back, yeah. It looked really great. But even like before that, I think the thing that struck me the most about just like the entrances in this is like, not often do you get like one entrance in even a whole like show that perfectly captures what the character is supposed to be without ever having to say a word about him. You don't even need to know his name. All you like just from him coming out and walking down to the ring, like, you know, everything that you need to know about him. And not only did you get that immediately with Tyler Breeze, but you got it immediately with the Demon. And it was awesome to see that. It like it made everything feel special.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dusty was a
special big start.
Dusty was still around at this point. I mean, that's all, you know, Dusty sitting them down in the back and hammering out the character. I mean, you know, it might not be totally him, but
no, like it was just it was just really well done. It was really done. The models coming down, looking fucking sexy, doing the poses, like the Tyler Breeze poses, and looking in the, it was just good. It was just
periscoping.
Well,
periscoping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rich Brannon
right now.
Yeah. That's Rich, true. Rich Brannon, made sure to shout out the periscope.
Well, talking about the commentators, I found it hilarious that 2 out of 3 commentators kept talking to Finn about Finn Balor. Like he's a first year, goddamn rookie of wrestling.
Yeah, I mean that you get that with most people in WWE now, but they're getting better at it. But around this time, I mean, and especially before, everyone was a fucking rookie because anything other than WWE was the minor league, so it just didn't matter.
There was only a couple of names. Like Joe is like obviously someone who never like came in and was not a rookie. There were some established guys who like, but
Nakamura. Was not treated like
that. But that was even later. But yeah, but like the only, I mean, Hideo wasn't really treated that way.
No, yeah, he was, because they were talking about how he was in over his head against the Ascension.
I mean, I guess, like, the way they introduced him, and then, like, immediately it was just like...
But the match was good. It's what you'd expect out of Finn Balor and Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, it was good, not great.
I liked it. I mean, it was everything I expected from them for an opening match.
That nasty ass double stomp on the outside. Ooh, that hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah, brutal.
Yeah.
And for the pinfall, the ref counted to four.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I love when you get that, like, first one where they slap down the mat and be like, shoulders are down, and then they do a three count, and it always looks like it's a four count.
But no, he counted to three, and then there was another slap.
I thought that Dozer noticed it too. I didn't send anything about it, but
I thought it was like, I saw it, but I just thought it was like the typical, because I see that all the time with the refs who are like shoulders down and it looks like a slap, but okay, that's sort of what I thought. But
at the end of the day, it's a 3.75 match all day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
a high rating.
Yeah, that's really high. I mean, not really high, but yeah, I mean, it was good. Like I said,
it was really good.
It wasn't great. I thought the visual from Finn diving off of the ramp looked good, but he took so long to pose. Tyler was just kind of standing there, and even I was like, well,
and it looked good until he hit him, and then it just.
Yeah, he kind of just did a flying nothing. Yeah, Shout out to Wrestling with a Regret.
it was anticlimactic, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, but the visual
party.
Yeah, but the visual was still cool, and you hadn't seen anyone at that point really fuck with the NXT stage and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, nobody had ever done that, so it was pretty new to the brand. I thought it was weird that commentary was so keyed in on how somehow it's worse for the competitors because now it's a singles match as comparative to a triple threat. They're really keyed in on this. I'm like, all I'm ever told is that the champion hates it being a triple threat because they don't have to get pinned to lose.
But it's a number one contender match, so there is no one who is at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the only thing. But at the
I'm used to NXT having four championships,
but you can still lose the match without getting pinned.
Can we just state how great this match would have been if Hideo was in it?
It would have been a lot better, but it was good. If you watch the show, absolutely watch this match. It was like a 3.25.
Man, I was close to. I'm just going full three. It was a really good match.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to look up the Meltzer rating. So while I look up the Meltzer rating for this prior match, why don't somebody get us started on Emma and Dana Brooke taking on Charlotte and Belele.
Oh my God. The fucking shits, dude.
It was so bad, but goddamn,
it sucked.
Dude.
But
Dana Brooke looked so good. Goddamn, she looks good.
I mean, real quick, shout out to Dana Brooke. She has gotten so much better. Like, she's not a fucking technician or anything now, and I'm not putting her up on a pedestal, but that girl wants it. I mean, she has been with the company so long and sucked for so long, and everyone hated her because she sucked for so long, and she kept at it, and she's okay now.
I like Natty's
a good wrestler. She's boring.
She is a good wrestler, but she just chills there, like she's just.
Oh, you're saying in tenure.
Really a contender, but she's always
Tamina,
like Alicia Fox was.
She's just not there most of the time.
Like Alicia Fox used to be.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but it was just a mess. It was a mess.
It was such a mess.
Yeah.
In like, you at one point Dana. Botches pretty bad. I don't remember what it was. I think it was like a strike or something. And Charlotte immediately goes red, and I was like, oh god, she's gonna fucking Nia Jax her.
I gotta say, at this point, Charlotte was not nearly as good as she has developed into. I remember watching Charlotte at this point and being like, yeah, I guess there's something there, but like, she's not that good.
I mean, like, but comparative to what was going on mostly on the main roster, yeah, I mean, she was.
But I will say Bayley in this match is like the only one that was really like worth
that
a damn.
Is a drink. I don't care. That Nat is a drink straight across.
I don't know. I thought Emma was fine.
Emma's fine.
I mean Charlotte and Emma were good. Yes, Tennille. Dana Brooke was maybe as bad as you can possibly be. Like, I mean, her...
She wasn't Eva.
Eva Marie still exists.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so she was almost as bad as you can possibly be. In the finish was fucked up, man. Charlotte has... Emma in the figure eight. And then Dana Brooke runs up and completely mistimes it and is going to axe handle Charlotte to break up the pin. Bayley then comes running just a little bit late, slides under. Dana could easily break this fucking pin up. And then she goes, oh, it's a Bayley. And then, you know, gets Bayley to bellied. And then the ref just like calls the match.
In there was a natural selection, and I just went, that is probably one of the worst finishers at this time.
Oh, natural selection is always bad. I mean, there's a couple people that have been able to sell it well, but it's like the knees down pedigree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the pedigree.
This match.
Pedigree only looks good if you take it Sean Waltman style, which is just full send.
And who was the dude he paralyzed?
Triple H?
Yeah. I don't
think Triple H paralyzed anyone.
The dude he fucking spiked.
That dude got paralyzed?
I think so. That dude
was fine. I'm pretty sure. But anyways, this was like, I don't know, like a 0.5 star match.
Marty Garner. Yeah, that's who it was. Sorry.
Is he good? I mean,
No, I don't think he was paralyzed, but he almost broke his neck. Like he really.
Well, yeah, I mean that wasn't good, but
because he thought he was getting a power bomb, so he jumped. Ooh, fuck! Yeah, straight on his head.
Yeah, Ooh. It was not good.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, 0.25. It was trash.
You know, I saw it as a serviceable match. I didn't think it was terrible. It was serviceable. And because it was serviceable, I'm putting it in the middle of the packet at 2.5.
You are out of pocket right now.
Yeah, this was 2.5. What did you... No. Okay, well, you know.
I don't know what I rated the other matches. I haven't flipped...
No. I'm just trying to think of, like, the last thing you rated 2.5.
I'm working better at my ratings. I'm trying to...
See, I like basing my ratings completely on the weather and whether or not I'm sweating or if it's dry and humid, whatever.
So, I'm going to say this. I don't think we have to worry about a clusterfuck app tonight. The first match, Meltzer gave a 2.75.
Wait, now, who gave... Someone gave... No, never mind. 3.75. You
no,
gave.
I think... There has to be something because that's a full house. We went just down the list, each person taking 0.25 off.
One sip.
Yeah, I'll light my blunt for that.
And then he gave this match a 2.
Jesus Christ, a 2?
Maybe I was just mad. I mean, that's
I don't know,
possible.
Dude. I saw the same thing you did, man. Don't worry. So that means you probably.
Oh God! Oh God! I'm agreeing with Isaac today.
That's right.
This sucks. Right.
$2 bills are awesome.
I have notes with my 2.5 here. It was like you could feel it was good, the women's revolution was coming. It was close, but it wasn't here yet.
Breathing hard, as
and you could really find it wasn't here yet, but you could see it coming, and that just felt good. We were in that weird time where half the shit is divas, half the shit is women's.
Dozer, I might agree with your 2-5, or at least get closer if this wasn't on a takeover. You know what I mean? If this was an NXT weekly match, and you just showed it to me, and you were like, yeah, this was just on, you know, episode 3 out of 4 in a month, you know, it took up 7 minutes of the show and an hour show, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's like a, you know, maybe like a 2, you know. So you just didn't, you know, you weren't angry about the fact it was a takeover, and I respect that because
I'm trying to be a little bit back in the mindset, and we haven't watched that many end-to-end great takeovers yet. We haven't hit that string where you get 2 years of perfect takeovers in a row.
And you're not gonna get that for a little bit. This is the flow of takeovers we're gonna settle into for maybe 3 or 4, which is like 3 like really good to great matches, and then 3 like what the fucks to Miz. I vividly remember that being the kind of pitter patter up until like 2017 maybe, and you know some shows might have had an extra one or you know one way or the other whatever. But that was
like a 5-match format.
Yeah,
for a while, and once they really hit that stride where it was like 4 or 5 matches on the card, like everything had meaning. They get everything time to breathe. Tell the stories they needed to tell, do the promos they needed to do. It was great. I mean, and then they had the ones where they didn't even, it was, you know, most of the takeovers at that point, like later on, there wasn't even much like extraneous shit. It was almost all just wrestling for a while.
Yeah, straight up. But speaking of wrestling, match number 3.
That brings us to Rhino taking on Baron Corbin.
Once again, real quick, shout out to my man Baron Corbin. He's improved even more than Dana Brooke has. He is the shits here. He is so bad.
So bad.
Poor
Rhino has to put him over.
I watched NXT at this point, week to week. And I remember popping on one of the weekly episodes of NXT, and there was Baron Corbin, you know, I beat everyone in X amount of minute, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. No one can stop me. And you know, the lights go black and everyone starts freaking out. And then then you just hear the Rhino, and the Rhino popped up on the screen. And this was unheard of for NXT. I mean, it still is really unheard of.
Dude, they would put
a pure veteran like Rhino and Kevin Owens, especially at this point, is not a pure veteran. Sami Zayn at this point is not a pure veteran. Finn Balor's not a pure veteran. Guys at this point are definitely pure veterans. You know what I mean? But they were still. He's no spring chicken.
But he's also an intimidating dude. Look at Rhino, and he's like, he's huge.
No, and it was the smart fucking, man.
And the gore, such a great, like one of the best, if not the best, spear out there.
Yo, they were showing that promo package before, and he was goring the enhancement talent that were security guards. And I was popping. I was like,
it was great.
This is sick.
No, it was awesome. No, I mean like. Dozer. I mean, Goldberg had a great spear, but that's the gore.
I just think it's a bit of, if your gimmick is you win your matches really quick, that's just code word for you can't wrestle.
Oh, absolutely. Because like you don't wrestle in short matches. That's the thing. You don't work.
Yeah. So, you know, Corbin's Corbin. He's the football dude. He did do shit.
I read that on his wiki.
Well, what I'm trying to say is I don't think Rhino is the guy who can hide greens.
No, but he's a guy that can provide a car crash, which is what this match was. When it's two dudes beating the piss out of each other, which, by the way, have you two ever seen the Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher match from IWA Mid-South? Oh, I'm gonna.
A lot of letters. I don't know what they.
All right, I'm gonna send that to you. I'm gonna at some point we're gonna find the time to watch that shit because it's fucking Isaac. It is brutal.
Sounds. I mean, it's but, got Necro in it, so I'm sure.
Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
Is where was I going before talking about that? My bad.
We were talking about Rhino.
Oh yeah, just car crashes.
Crashes of a match. Yeah, it was. And I actually enjoyed it for that aspect. It wasn't a good wrestling match.
It was a terrible match.
The wrong person won.
But no, the right person won. The developmental
talent won in a developmental TV show.
Yeah, and it just makes sense.
Happen in this shit. The
veterans
come there to lose.
Rhino
should have beat his ass.
Have you ever seen anyone throw Baron Corbin like Rhino through, like with that like belly to belly, and he fucking tosses him, dude. And Corey Graves pops. It was one of my favorite moments from the show because that's what Graves. I thought. Rich Brennan or Byron Saxton, I don't remember which one, was like, he didn't get all of that. And then Corey was like, what are you talking about? He got up and just throw him halfway across the ring. And because I was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, dude. No, dude, Byron's an idiot. I love when fucking
Byron and Corey are the perfect foils for each other. Because Byron is such really a dork.
Started get it going in like when Corey just said fuck it and like was just like I'm going in on him every chance I get.
Yeah.
Oh dude. My god, it was awesome. So good.
The moment you're watching and going, oh yep, Corey's the only one who's even watched wrestling recently.
Yeah,
I got it.
Because Byron's the kind of guy that you like want to give a hug to but not hang out with, right? Like you like him and he's all right, but you don't want to hang out with him.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to hang out with Corey, but.
Oh, well, no, but Corey's the perfect guy to just make fun of him and say what you're thinking. So that way you laugh, but don't say yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're awesome together. Yeah, I mean, it was not the worst match of the night by a lot. No. Baron Corbin sucked pretty bad, but it was short. What, like 7 minutes, seven and a half minutes? It did what it needed to do. It put over the wrong and right guy at the same time, and it was like I don't know, like a one and a half.
That's where I was gonna go with it, and I'll drink with you on that one and a half.
I'm keeping it at a 2.5 because it's the same shit as before. It was not horrible, but it's not. It wasn't a total disaster, but it was not something I'm ever going to watch again.
He's taking the wrestling with regret, like path to rating now.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about this is next week we'll have a new rating system to learn. So Dozer will have a new metric, and it'll be awesome. I think that's going to be the gimmick: is that every week.
Look, it's all about when I watch the show and how I feel when I watch it. I have them written down here.
And yeah, I'm not
changing that shit at all.
I'm not shitting on you.
And yeah. I watch it once. If I miss something while I'm watching it because a text came in, I missed it. I'm acting as if I watched it once live.
Yeah, I'm not acting. I'm not acting at all. This is me.
I do go back and watch if I fall asleep. I will give you that.
I love you, Shane.
About the
that I fell the fuck asleep.
About the only time I go back and watch is if I'm doing like a written thing, right? Because I'll pause because I'm not good at remembering very specific details in like the course of like a longer match.
Yeah.
So I'll watch like 3 minutes and then pause and then type real fast and then start again. But every once in a while I'll start typing and then forget to pause. So
what did Meltzer rate this one?
Meltzer gave it a 2.
Wow. All right.
Which the 2s are the lowest matches of the night.
So what do we got next? What's up? What's up next? Was this?
We have Carmella taking on Enzo and Cass taking on Blake and Murphy.
You want to talk about the shits?
You know what though? God, the match was so bad, but God damn it, I fucking love Enzo. And Enzo at this point, take all of my fucking money, please. So good, so entertaining. Like, goddamn, dude. Anytime he got on the mic was golden. It was just perfect. He was great.
I'm fairly certain I got ill watching Blake and Murphy come out.
Yes. Oh, that was awful.
So
the flashing lights are enough. And then the camera work, fuck Kevin Dunn.
So that I don't think that was Kevin Dunn. That was just their idea. So Dozer, Isaac, did you watch at this point? Were you watching NXT? Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So the whole thing with Blake and Murphy was they had won the tag titles on just a random episode of NXT, and they weren't really built up. It was really random.
I remember that.
Because I remember watching it. And I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, I was pissed off. I was, you know, what the hell's going on? Why did these guys take it? And they were just the dubstep duo.
And did they beat what, like, fucking...
The Lucha Dragons.
The Lucha Dragons.
Yeah. And it was just so random. And, like, everyone was just had no clue. And, like, a bunch of people, like, quit watching NXT because of it. Because they weren't built up really at all. They weren't, like, serious contenders. It kind of just went bang, bang. And the Lucha Dragons didn't have the titles for very long either.
But goddamn, dude. Alexa, this is how we got introduced to Alexa Bliss, isn't it?
No. She wrestled before.
Oh.
Yeah, no, she was...
kind of the introduction to her becoming something.
Oh no, absolutely. She was kind of lost in the abyss of NXT before, for sure.
Like this was definitely one of the beginning, one of the first two coming out parties of the night.
So
she's from Columbus, Ohio.
She is. Well, she's from Westerville, Ohio, which is greater Columbus area, but I want to give a quick shout out to Enzo for the one move I liked that he did, where he did a really cool, like, hand on the top of the head, just standing, you know, just vertical drop kick. That shit was sick. I don't remember who he hit it on. That looked good as hell.
He was an
asshole other than that.
I loved Enzo at this time. And I still tell anyone who listened that. If he didn't have his fucking ego issues backstage, the dude would be making so much money if utilized properly.
Yeah, but you know,
he could talk.
Seeing the greatness of Enzo talking and doing his shit here, and then realizing, what is it, 6 years later, the two valets for the match.
Yep.
Are the biggest stars.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
The only people still left in the company.
Yeah. And I mean, not to say that they don't deserve it, because I think they're both very talented.
Yeah. I mean, Carmella. By the way, shout out to Carmella for improving. And shout out to Alexa Bliss, man. Shout out to both of those ladies.
Legitimately very, very good at what they do.
These days.
But yeah, I mean, I honestly think that, like, man, if Enzo had not been the asshole he was and had, like, grinded, and even if he had gotten stuck with a little man role in the main roster, if he had ran his contract out and ended up at AEW, I think he could have been a fucking giant star there. But the ego shit, you know, like, you know, if a frog had wings, it wouldn't bump its ass a hopping. So you just never know with things like that.
So, Isaac, what do you have to say about the match? Defend your boy, please.
It was trash. The match was terrible. No, I mean, the match itself was bad. But, I mean, like I said, like, the thing with those matches is that Enzo is good at being beat up. And, yes, like, he's good at getting ragdolled. And, like, I think
Cass is a good hot tag.
Yeah.
That's their entire matches.
Yeah, but the biggest problem was Cass was dog shit at that point.
Yeah, he was not very good.
Terrible. And he's not, he's not, like, he's very good now, but
he's all right, especially when he got up to the main roster. He was okay.
I really do think if you had pair, you know, like, I think that Enzo's ability to talk and want people to, like, see him get his ass kicked, et cetera, like, there was something to it. But yeah, the match itself was a half star, It was just not worth watching. It was just not good. It weren't interesting.
It weren't not that bad. Again, it was short to the point where it was palatable regardless of how not good it was. It was, what, like 10 minutes? Dozer? At any times?
I don't have times on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was like 9-10 minutes. It was a one-star match.
Okay.
I gave it a 2 stars, but I'm pretty sure that's just because Alexa makes my naughty bits feel hard. So.
Oh my god, yes. Oh jeez.
Oh my god, yes, dude. Every time he sends me a picture too.
Look, you think my rating's bad. Meltzer gave it a 2.25.
Wait, what did you give it?
I gave it a 2.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Probably my lowest match of the night. I'd assume my lowest match of the night.
Did you get laid right before you fucking watched?
He was
this?
Just stoked to be watching wrestling, man. Just we'll be back to it next week.
Hey, I watched some good wrestling this week. You know, I watched this. I watched Grand Slam. Raw didn't suck. It wasn't good, but it didn't suck.
I heard a lot of people saying it was very good too.
SmackDown was good. You know, it was a pretty damn good week.
All right.
You know, that right here brings us to match number 5, the NXT Women's Championship. And they said women's. I'm like, ooh, that's a big deal now going on, where we have Miss Becky Lynch taking on Miss Sasha Banks.
They also said divas a lot, though.
Mm-hmm. But this match was
divas
really
divas referred to the... Not the championship, though. Just the wrestlers were making progress.
Yeah, this was a kind of a technical masterpiece. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was chain wrestling after chain wrestling.
This is when I first was like, yeah, this I was because this is the first time I really like because I always thought Becky was cute. I was like, man, she looks really good, but they had never given her a chance to show what she can do.
Oh, and she almost got fired like a month before this match happens or 2 months.
This match. This was when, like, everyone was talking about how great Charlotte was throughout this stretch. Oh, Charlotte is, like, and I'm, like, at this point, like, Charlotte is a better wrestler today than Becky Lynch is today.
It's probably because Charlotte's the best professional wrestler this side.
But at that point, Becky and Sasha were better than Charlotte.
Well... There's something to be said. Like Sasha had the Charlotte had the breeding, but Becky had the ring time. Mm-hmm. Charlotte didn't really have ring time before Performance Center.
Yeah, I mean, and Charlotte was made anyways. Like Becky at this point, I'm sure is still like, I have to impress every time, or I'm gonna get fucking sacked.
But Sasha too. Like, give credit where we got to give credit where credit's due. Sasha Banks at this point was the best female wrestler on the roster.
Yeah.
I don't think it was even close. I don't think there was a close second.
What stuck out to me is this is the point that developmental was doing what developmental needed to do. You had Becky tweaking her character on a damn near weekly basis. Until she came out here, which was almost a goddamn coming out party, because she was perfect. Like, this is when her character solidified as what it needs to be, until it later morphs again to the man. You get the full steampunk stuff. The theme fits. The smoke fits. It worked so damn well.
God, she was...
I thought she looked... I mean, not she, but I thought her attire looked like shit, but...
Yeah, she wasn't really...
the best, but when you're changing it damn near weekly, you're not
spending
money on that shit either.
But this match, man.
Just
I mean,
hold after hold after counter after hold.
The crowd was so into it.
This is wrestling.
And there was no bullshit. It was just a fucking wrestling match. And it was a 4-star match all day, every day. I would love to watch it again. Great match. Shane says 4 too.
And before I say anything, we're giving credit where it's due. And I fucking hate the dude, but goddamn, the orange ref was a good ass ref for this match.
He's a great ref to begin with. Like, he's fucking ref. Awesome.
Except for the CZW. He has
shitty personal views, but.
Yeah, but straight as a ref, he's the NXT ref. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, he is still the NXT ref. There's been no ref in NXT that is eclipsing fucking Drake Warrens, Drake Younger, fucking Guido Oompa Loompa. Well, like,
he's
a Hall of Famer. CCW Hall of Famer, but a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, I always enjoyed his refereeing. Even if I didn't enjoy a spray tan.
Well, I do have some very sad news for everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, my earlier prediction was wrong. We have a goddamn clusterfuck on our hands.
Cheers,
I'm, gave it a 4, Meltzer gave it a 4.
God damn it.
Well done. Well done, you're right. Nice job.
But I will say, just because I don't know where the hell else I'm going to address this, fuck the NXT crowd.
Why do you say that?
I got tired of all the goddamn chants.
Oh, you think it's bad now? You got shit coming, brother.
I just this didn't bother me.
I just one want generic cheering, not a chant.
I loved how into this match the crowd got, and especially at the end, the way they finished this. And we shouldn't linger on it too long, but leaving Becky in the ring is awesome. It was
it was very cool. It was definitely like her last tryout moment. You know what I mean?
And
the crowd would have been silent, she probably would have been gone.
They started singing her fucking song, and that was awesome. And I was like, yes. And like in retrospect, seeing that moment, like, good for her.
I mean, it was really important to
the four horsewomen.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was integral to the product for, you know, the past since then. Mm-hmm. I mean, Becky, other than when she got pregnant, has been around and. I mean, really been involved in the title scene everywhere she's been since.
I mean, when she first started the man gimmick, that was one of the only things worth watching on on WWE.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything else. But so now let's get to the main event. Let's do it. Let's talk about it and then let's go to bed.
Isaac's sleepy.
Oh, I just have to wake up fucking at like 6 in the morning again. Parents weekend, lots We're of business. Sorry. Oh, it's good, dude. I mean, could be worse, but.
All elite Scooby Doo.
Oh, God. All elite Scooby Doo. The main
Kevin
event.
Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. This shit was good.
Mm-hmm. The finish, even where it's like. He's just fucking beat him to a fucking pulp and his neck is fucked up.
When did the match actually end? I don't remember the bell.
When William Regal came out, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they never really called the match itself. It was sort of
so
ended.
I didn't the last NXT show we reviewed, the main event was the first Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Which I gave a markedly low rating because it was not a good wrestling match, and it still is not a good wrestling match. Here's the payoff for that, for what happened there, and I understand that. I love the story they told early where it was all Sami Zayn, and he's just whooping his ass everywhere. They're fighting out into the crowd. Kevin Owens takes 3 bumps on the floor. Mm-hmm. One's like a crazy ass fucking exploder suplex. He's getting killed everywhere. Every single time he makes a little ground, he hits something big. Sami Zayn just overcomes it and starts, you know, whooping on him again. And the only thing that saves him is a pop-up powerbomb on the apron. You know what I mean? And it was gross. The way Sami Zayn like stabilized himself on the way up and just like let himself go on the way down. It was nasty. Mm-hmm. But it was just fun to watch, especially having watched the last match. And if this match would have taken place in the last match's spot, I would have hated this match as much as, not hated, but I would have thought the same way about this match as what I did that match. You need both,
you
but
need
the first
one to lead into the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you don't have the first one, you can't have the second one. I mean, but it was a masterclass, and also I'm going to lump, the big old debut that came afterwards in.
Yeah.
Because you have to, because this was Samoa fucking Joe's debut.
I remember when I saw this live, and this was one of the things I actually remember from watching this the first night, was being kind of disappointed that Samoa Joe, not that Samoa Joe was in NXT, but that we weren't going to get the, like, I felt at that point, I don't remember what happens, but that we weren't going to get the real Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn match that we deserved.
I mean, that was the
one thing I remember from watching it live the first time. I don't necessarily feel that way now, but I did.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, or Kevin Steen and El Generico, or whoever they are going to find a way to wrestle each other.
Totally. But still, at that point, that was the only thing. In the moment. Who is that?
Miro.
Was he wearing a...
No, that's cape? Alexander Rusev. He had two names at that point.
He was wearing a tunic or something.
Neither of which are Miro. But I really, really love this match. And like I said, with Samoa Joe debuting lumped in, this is like a 4-2-5.
Yeah, I like the match itself. I like the story they told. I don't know if I can. I mean, I enjoyed where like Regal coming in and getting in his face and then doing the hook on the nose and getting headbutted
and then getting
out of the ring.
Shoot headbutted.
That was great. But yeah, I still think that initial feeling of like a little disappointment and like never feeling like the full payoff of the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn story that they had started telling right after Sami won the belt.
Yeah.
Like I just never felt like we got the payoff. And for that reason, I'm going to give it a 3.75.
He was also feuding with John Cena at this point as well.
No, I know. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff going on, but like I said,
y'all remember that? Oh,
yes,
man. I was at one of those matches. I was at the Money in the Bank one. I think match two. Yeah, it was match two where John Cena won, and I was really fucking pissed off, and everyone was really mad. But then he ended up apron bombing Cena, and it was the craziest shit I had ever seen at that point.
Hell yeah!
Cena took a fucking apron bomb.
Hell yeah! Yeah. You know,
I enjoyed it. It was great for the storytelling. It was pretty good to see Samoa Joe come out, despite the fact he had the worst theme music in the
Yeah, I was
wrestling.
Wondering because it started out the same as it does now, and then it was just like really
this weird ass rap track that didn't make sense for Samoa Joe.
Yeah, it was bad. But he settled into the ooh, ba-doom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's Godzilla.
So what did you rate it? What did you rate it there?
What I did you rate 3.5.
Yeah, dude. Did you hear that, man? That's too many.
You said a 3.5?
Yep.
Man.
What did Meltzer give it?
Well, I'll give you a hint.
Yep.
I took a drink. That means it's a 3.5. He agreed with me.
Therefore, all right.
I am right. You are wrong.
Yeah, because Meltzer's right. What do we give this show as a whole?
3. Oh, do I need to go grab another beer real quick? Is that what I need to do? I don't have any more alcohol.
the three horsemen of the takeover.
Yeah, we all say three. I'm going to finish my drink. Shane, whatever, man. It's all good.
Shane, I will do you a solid. I will finish my drink, refill my cup, and finish it again for you.
Oh, no, no. No, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Well,
he does because he opened a 750.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, okay. It's not a full cup. That's fine. All right, you go.
Dozer, dozer,
dozer, dozer, dozer, dozer.
Well, I guess that about does it for tonight. Patreon.com/suchgoodshoot, suchgoodshoot.com, Johnners, wrestlingwithjohnners.com, and the Johnners Podcasting Network. Also, check out all our good friends at Shooting Shit, Toilet Side Wrestling Talk with Brad Marcus, What Do You Say with DDJ, Buckle Bomb Entertainment, and Nigel Thornberry. So,
we love you, Jakey Poo.
Even though you hate me, we love you.
Shut the fuck up. Don't scare him off.
He hates me, dude. He blocked me. Venus. I agree.
Until next time. That's Isaac.
Penis.
I'm still goddamn Dozer.
And just remember, your dick's bigger than a gorilla's.
Goodbye.
Yep. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. Finally, Facebook.
Meow.
Meow.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Such Good Shoot. If you are on YouTube, please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that bell icon. Or subscribe to us on your favorite audio catcher. Or finally, if you're on Facebook, leave a comment, like the video, and make sure to share it out to all your friends. Until next time, we have been Such Good Shoot, and have a great day.